All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central. Hey, again, folks, I got a great show lined up for you today. This is show number 1,124, and it's Monday, June 30th. This show is, of course, sponsored in part by our good friends at GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Of course, great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. And support of this show today financially by you can be done at GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider or simply PayPal.me/GeekNews. You can pick up Ohana gear at CafePress.com/Ohana Store. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to the Ohana longtime listeners and viewers of the show. Thanks for being here. If you're brand new to the show, I want to welcome you to the podcast. Lots to share tonight. Got a great show lined up for you. And of course, again, if you're new, why don't you get over to geeknewscentral.com, check out all the great content on the website. The writing team is just fabulous, and they seem to find stuff that I don't. So keep that in mind as you're coming over to the website. So stuff that's usually on geeknewscentral.com from a content standpoint isn't necessarily what you're going to find in this show. Of course, you can subscribe on iTunes, via Android, on Google Play, via email, via Stitcher, via a standard RSS feed. If you don't know how to do any of that, how to subscribe to the show, don't worry. Click on the more subscribe options. We also want you to scroll down the page, and there's a link on the website for the newsletter. Just click on that. That'll take you to the sign-up page for the newsletter. It's real easy. It takes you over to Google Groups. You know, I don't use anything super fancy for basically what you will receive an email. It's a straight email, no tracking, and it just contains everything that I talk about in the show. It's not a big talk session. It's just a one-way shot to you, so sign up for the newsletter as well. You can always reach me via email, geeknews@gmail.com, on Twitter at geeknews. You can follow me on Google Plus or Facebook. Just search for the word Todd Cochran, and you'll find yours truly. You can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel, on the Apple TV via the Geek News Central video edition. You can watch on Blueberry.com. You can listen on Stitcher. You can listen, of course, on the Amazon Echo by telling Alexa to play the latest edition of this show's name. And Alexa will fire up the latest edition for you so you never miss a single episode. Again, about a dozen ways there to get connected with the show. And some more coming soon. We've got some more announcements to make soon. Of course, don't forget about our partner shows. Our partner shows are really the most important part of the stack. The New Media Show with Rob Greenlee and I. We've got the Pro Gear News site. We've got the Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain. I just talked to Don today. And Don, if you're listening, brother, I understand exactly what you're going through. And I hope my advice leads you to less pain. But Don is going through something rather traumatic at this time. Won't say on the show what it is, but send your thoughts and prayers to Mr. Don Bain. He needs your assistance right now for sure. Of course, Jamie Davis with Health Tech Weekly, and of course Jacob and Jeff with No Better Than Average. So definitely to get in there. And Jacob's holding the show right down now while Jeff steps away for a little bit of time, but hopefully they'll all be back together soon. Hey, this show, of course, is sponsored by our good friends over at GoDaddy. And I'm going to be straight up. I'm watching June. We're doing good. We're really doing good for June far as responses go. So I don't know where it's all coming from, but thank you. If it's all this audience that is you know, reacted to the promo codes and started a .com and, you know, maybe starting their own business or revamping their website. whatever it may be, we're on track here in June, and I definitely appreciate it. So, you know, for all those deals, again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy, and really every deal under the sun is there. And whether it be 30% off on a new product purchase, whether it be a 99cent.com that you could use one time, whether it be a website builder account where you're going to rebuild your business, whether it come to economy hosting or manage WordPress hosting, great deals. The hosting account started $1 a month with a free domain. Please see the details for, you know, basically all the restrictions and any other things that come along with that. The most important thing I tell folks to do is make sure you look at the what your reoccurring is going to be after the 1 year. And the 1 year, you know, here's the deal with the those accounts. If you have an idea, I call them the in the shower moments. You know, you're in the shower, you thought, oh, that would be cool. And you come to your computer and you type in a, you know, domain name, you come up with an idea. And, you know, sometimes ideas are triggered from stuff on TV, stuff in the environment, what you've seen on the street, whatever it may be. Something may trigger you. And I can be guarantee if it was triggered by some sort of event, there'd probably be other people on kind of on the same wavelength. So oftentimes I'll tell people, get those things locked in. And you know, for me, oftentimes buying a domain or buying, set up a website, you know, sometimes they pan out, sometimes they don't. We hope that they do and that you continue multiple years. That's the goal. But, you know, just that kind of that instantaneous, wow, let me try this, you know, from a business idea, that's what it's all about. And GoDaddy gives you the flexibility to get something together, put some together, some launch without costing you an arm and a leg. And obviously we want that those ideas to be successful. And but at least it gives you a little time to start working on it and get it set up the way you want and launch. Whether it be a blog, whether it be a podcast, whether it be again a business idea. So don't discount those spur of the moment ideas. And don't forget about all the new top-level domains as well. Now, the .com is where the special is, so I really can't get you a discount on those new TLD products, but there's a lot of new top-level domains that are they're pretty awesome, and there's new ones being turned on every week. So if you have an idea for something, don't forget about that as well. But anyway, I want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor. GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy is a place to go. Click or copy the codes. I prefer when you click the code and click all the way through. It just makes the tracking much more guaranteed. And not to say that codes get missed when we're, you know, basically putting them in the checkout, but locking your code right from the website and at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Okay, so let me go ahead and, hey, I'm kind of watching comments on Facebook. ¿Cómo está? From the Philippines, thank you for coming on board. Outstanding. Hey, so I just want to talk a little bit tonight. I've been thinking, and that's a dangerous thing, especially for me. You know, I've been thinking about the show a lot lately. And there's always been in the back of my mind some content that I want to add to the show. This show, we've talked about science. We talk about tech. We talk about stupid stuff that I find. It's really more than just a. It's truly a geek nerd show, right? Like, you know, and it's doesn't always have to be about the news. So I know many of you share some of the same kind of weird stuff that you like to read, like I do. But paranormal, and I'm not talking about. But some of that stuff is kind of cool. Let's talk about, like, many of you may be familiar with Coast to Coast AM. I loved it when Art Bell was the host. Living here in Hawaii, we could kind of tune in about this time of night and listen until the late hours when I was in the Navy, working active duty, working night shift, the whole shop. We would all be enthralled by stuff Art Bell was talking about. I got people hooked line and sinker listening to his shows for years. and he was on 4 to 5 hours a night, some crazy number of hours. Of course, today it's done by George Norrie, and about 50% of the stuff that's on that show, I mean, is like, whoa, it's out there. But those types of sites, like Coast to Coast AM, they drudge up the weirdest stuff. So what I'm looking for are those weird site stuff sources. So, you know, Coast to Coast is easy. They got an articles section over there where I can pull a few things to talk to you about and maybe send you over to his website. And I'm not talking about a complete, like, revamping of the show. And this would be like 2, 3, maybe 4 things per episode that are like, did you know? Did you see? Did you hear? And if nothing else, just kind of some fun segments. So what I'm looking for, and again, oftentimes it's underneath the paranormal category, just looking for some sources. Now, you guys are all nerdy out there. You're all looking for stuff. So when you find a source, a website source, let me know, because I'll subscribe to the feed and I'll add it part of my review process. And if I see something that kind of is like good that can be added, I'm going to add it to the show. So that's, you know, kind of about the title of the show tonight, is Bringing On the Weird, is kind of the way I'm going to try to do a little bit of enhancement and a little bit of addition stuff to the content stack on a show basis. So, you know, we'll see how this works. I've tried to do things in the past, but I really didn't have a lot of passion behind it. But I just love the kooky stuff. I really do. You know, we've all of you that have been listening here for a number of years know about the Blue Man. You guys know about the UFO sightings. So, and I can remember as a kid, you know, sitting with my mom and talking about the pyramids and how they were built and aliens and, you know, the whole nine yards. Now, we're getting really close here in a few days. The new 4th of July movie's coming out. And probably one of the few movies of the year that I will probably, well, I think it comes out, is it Thursday or Friday of this week? But anyway, I will probably go to premiere night. Just because I want to go. It's going to be one of those movies that's going to be loud, boom, bang, crash, lots of explosions, and kicking alien butt. So, you know, that, obviously I read a lot of sci-fi too. So throw me the weird. Send it over. And I really want to give me those sources, okay? And I want to thank Patrick, Rolf, Andrew, all you guys for joining the show tonight on Facebook. Thanks for being on. Definitely appreciate it. I know that people will be popping in and out all night. So we thank you for that. It's late. So anyway, that's what's going to happen about the content enhancement. So I'm still on the search for a couple of things. Number one, I'm on the search for a video graphics card for my Dell. Something on the NVIDIA side. It's not like super whopper NVIDIA, but it's kind of like middle of the road type of a card. If you guys have a suggestion on a model, let me know. I rebuilt 2 Macs this weekend. I rebuilt a 17-inch MacBook Pro and a 15-inch MacBook Pro. The 15-inch, man, it was just like, I have no idea what the story with it was, but I completely, I mean, I pulled everything off, formatted the hard drive, rebuilt it via the internet. Machine is obviously like new. Now, I can probably increase that power on that machine by putting an SSD in there. That'll be next. The other 17-inch that I rebuilt is still got this Wi-Fi issue. I cannot, for the life of me, it did for a little bit, then it doesn't, and it does, and it doesn't. There is something seriously wrong. Have you guys ever run into a Mac that just basically sees the SSDs or SSIDs and then will not connect no matter what? It even if it's an open connection, whatever, it's beyond me. It's got to be the Wi-Fi card, because like I said, sometimes it would connect and then it doesn't. I've looked for everything. If you guys find a trick, any of you Mac gurus out there, I'm going to make an appointment at the Genius Bar at this point and take it in. It's completely rebuilt. They can tell me what's wrong. Probably tell me, oh, you're out of luck. But, You know, so I guess one out of the two completely operational is good. And if I have to leave the other one connecting, it still works when you plug into an Ethernet cord. But, you know, that's with my kids. Who's got an Ethernet cord in the living room? Not in my house. Okay, that's it on the Macs. Podcast Movement is coming up again. Just a programming note, the week of the 4th of July, unless I find someone to stand in, no shows the week of 4th of July. I'll be in Michigan and Chicago. As a matter of fact, if anyone's within striking distance of Michigan, I'm inviting you down for some barbecue. If you want to come, drop me an email, arrange the time and date around the 4th of July weekend. So, again, Southern Michigan, Coldwater, Quincy area is the location I'm going to be in. If you want to come, we've got people coming from Grand Rapids, from Traverse City, from down in Ohio and Indiana. So if you want to come up, drop me a note and I'll get you directions and the date and time and everything else. I don't think I can sleep anymore, people, but I think we've got all the extra beds filled. But more than happy to come down and spend the afternoon or come up and spend the afternoon. Podcast Awards Ceremony is this coming Sunday, so I'll be hot and heavy doing that this week, getting ready for that. But just do want to, before I get into the tech content, before I get into the stack, and I will talk way long tonight on just this general stuff, but had an unusual thing happen last Friday. Got a call from a podcast media buyer. First time ever that we've been asked to find podcasts that are faith-based to run advertising in, and I'm calling it a promotion versus advertising. It's kind of a promotion for a service that fits perfectly with a faith-based podcast. I never thought really in 100 years we would find advertisers that wanted to specifically advertise in faith-based podcasts. I guess I didn't maybe realize it. And we had like about 5,000 shows we sent emails to. And we've gotten a great response, more than I ever would have thought. So after the show tonight, I'm actually going to be up to 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning doing a proposal for a media buyer that is due tomorrow morning. So be in the burning the midnight oil tonight. All right, that's it. That's all I got in my stack. Let's get into the tech content. I do have a good amount of stuff to go over with you. And again, everyone that's on Facebook watching, welcome to the show tonight on YouTube Live as well. Hey, this show is always done live at live.geeknewscentral.com. And that's with the YouTube feed versus the Facebook feed. All right, starting off today, Google today has streamlined two-step verification. Many of you that have already got two-step enabled with Gmail know that you have to put in a link and a telephone number with the accounts, and then it'll send you SMS message with the code. Maybe it's basically when you're doing two-step verification. But they really, what they've done here is the streamlined method for approving sign-in requests allows you to approve those requests with a simple yes or no pop-up rather than receiving a confirmation email text. So you get the pop-up, still via your phone. You say yes, and then it'll automatically authorize your login, whether it be on a browser or wherever it may be. So long as you've got your mobile device, and to keep that locked, make sure you've got a key code there, you'll be able to authorize accounts right from your phone. It's a new option. It's available via the Google My Accounts page. You can turn it on, and it really save you from having to type that stuff, you know, and that's always kind of a pain. We, I think at this point, it is pretty much well known that, and at least some people are speculating, saying this isn't the guy, but Craig Wright, the Australian who has claimed to be the inventor of Bitcoin, he is attempting to build a large patent portfolio around the digital currency and technology underpinning it. Since February, now listen to this. Since February, he has filed more than 50 patent applications in Britain through the Antigua registered EITC holding, which a source close to the company confirmed was connected to Craig Wright. Interviews with the source close to EITC Holdings, which has two of Wright's close associates as directors, confirmed it's still working on filing patent applications, and Britain's Intellectual Property Office has published another applications filed by the company in the past week. They said that they may be filing as many as 500 patents around Bitcoin. So I think the thing I want to make all of you aware of, and some things I've learned, and again, I'm not a patent attorney, okay? I'm only going on based on information that I have been told in the past. So filing a patent in the United States, to file it correctly and to do it so that it has a decent chance of being approved, is typically a minimum of about $10,000. Now, you can fill the paperwork out. You can file a patent on your own. You don't have to pay a patent attorney $10,000. But if you want to get a patent and you want it to be have less pain being approved, another keyboard on my lap. I don't know why. If you want it to be approved, the patent lawyer will do the due diligence to figure out where you're going to run into trouble as part of the approval process. It's going to look at the same. The patent attorneys are going to look at the same thing that the patent reviewer will do. They're going to go look for like type stuff. But you may remember we were talking about a little bit earlier about the GoDaddy deals, and you're in the shower, you wake up in the middle of the night with this idea, da-da, you know, it comes to your head. So if you have an original idea for an invention or something that needs to be protected via a patent, it's in the base of your brain on how it's going to work, but you've absolutely not implemented it in any way, what you should do is you should write that idea out on a piece of paper. It should be as detailed as possible. The date and time it, everything, and basically make 4 or 5 copies of that and seal that in envelopes. And then either mail that envelope to yourself or mail it to you and your friend or a business partner so that you get the and seal these things, all right, so that they don't look like they've been tampered with. And what you're going to help yourself doing is that if it's a year later and you're going to go file the patent, that piece of paper may help you in essentially protecting your idea. Said on June 20th, 2016, I came up with this idea in my head. I wrote it down. The post service stamped it on June 21st. It's a sealed document. You don't ever open that. It's not like you take it, get it, and open it. Okay, you lock that away, so that when you do file the patent a year later or whatever it may be, if you run into an issue where someone is trying to claim prior art or prior idea, then you will basically, in a court of law, be able to say, this idea really originated about a year, but I filed a year ago, but I filed the patent, you know, whatever time may be. Now, that'll help you. Now, so going back to this story, if Craig Wright really is the dude behind Bitcoin and blockchain, you know, blockchain is a very important part of the whole Bitcoin stuff. If he was the developer or the actual originator of blockchain, and he's filing 500 patents, and he has proof, unequivocal proof that he's the dude, this guy may cash in. Every country's different. And I'm sure they started filing in somewhere where they're going to be, where the laws aren't as strict, or maybe their patent protection, et cetera, et cetera. So he's going to, if he really goes and does 500 patents, that's saying something. So we will find out if at some point here, if Craig Wright really can prove that he is Satoshi Nakamoto, the alias that he says he is that person. And while there is currently no conclusive proof about his authorship of Bitcoin, documents seen by Reuters suggest that Wright has a deep association with cashless money systems since long before it went live. And if that's the case, this gentleman could end up being a very rich individual because banks are starting to invest in Bitcoin, Bitcoin technology, and it could be big. It really, really could. Okay, so, and again, I'm not a patent lawyer. This is the advice I was given by some folks. Take it or leave it. You know, go to an attorney. Get your own legal advice. I'm not subject to being sued if that gouge I just gave you was completely wrong. Okay, full disclosure here. All right, just be aware. You know, these patent attorneys, they're worth their weight in gold when you really have an idea that is original that you want to protect. Now, how many of you had your internet go out? How many of you that listen to the show from outside the United States? Well, apparently, a Swedish infrastructure company called Telia is to blame for a massive internet outage today after an engineer apparently misconfigured a key router that sent all of Europe's traffic to Hong Kong. I wonder if that guy still works there. The tier one, and they did get that designation, you got to be a big boy. The tier one network provider is one of fewer than 20 companies that provide a basic foundation for much of the internet. It sent a note to other network operators several hours after the huge disruption were reported across Europe, apologizing for the mishap. But this is not going to come without consequence. The mistake is so significant that the CEO of a content delivery network, Cloudflare, Matthew Prince, has already taken action against the company. He says reliability of Telia over the last 60 days, unacceptable. He tweeted, deprioritizing them until we are confident they fixed their systematic issues. So, deprioritizing them. That means routing the traffic around them, not making them a private gateway destination, thus lowering the amount of data that goes through their network, thus reducing revenue. So they've been in the news a lot lately, but the tele engineer, probably without a job today. So, you know, it's scary. Doing routing stuff, it's really scary. And about 3 months ago, we had some SSL certificates that were coming up due. And I asked Angelo, I said, didn't you move these onto a different SSL certificate? One that was a wild case. Oh, yeah, I've done that. He said, you can cancel them. Well, canceling and deleting are two different things. Because when you cancel them, they actually cancel when they become due. I said, oh, cancel. So I went into the GoDaddy account and I canceled and deleted. He flipped out. I cost him about 4 hours worth of work because he hadn't completely moved everything around. So I told him, okay, so let's get our language straight. To me, when I ask you, do we need these anymore? And you say, no, cancel them. That means, you know, cancel. Anyway, we've got it figured out now. But so easy to throw things into disarray. Google has seen DMCA notices quadruple in the past 2 years. Since 2011, Google's removed more than a billion pirate links from its search engine, and 2 billion marks is only a few months away. The number of requests from rights holders increased dramatically up to the point where Google now handles around 3 million pirate links every day. That's insane if you think about that. DMCA takedowns are big. We at Blueberry received our first one a couple of weeks ago, and someone was misusing someone else's content, and they had the right to request it being taken down. So there's a lot of people, a lot of bots that are not happy with the copyrighted material being shared. And it leads to an article that I probably should have had here. Let me see if I can find it. It was from Billboard. Do I see the Billboard link? No, I did. But oh, here it is. I did. I had it close. How did I? I did that right. Taylor Swift, Paul McCartney, among 180 artists are signing a petition for DCMA reform. And in an ad that run Tuesday through Thursday in the Washington, D.C. magazines, Political, The Hill, and Roll Call, 180 performers and songwriters are calling for reform of the DMCA, which regulates copyright online. Basically, they're PO'd at YouTube. And so they want more punishment to groups like YouTube and Safe Harbors Act. So, you know, I was asked recently, how can you allow someone to say what they're saying on a certain show on your network? And I'm like, that person has a First Amendment right to say whatever he wants to say. It's your responsibility, if you don't like what that person says, to, if he's libeling you, to, you know, go and do the, you know, whatever you need to do to protect yourself. But it's not my job to be a content cop. And to be, if I was being a content cop and I heard something that was potentially libelous or whatever the content may be, and I didn't act upon it, I could be held specifically responsible and to be named in a lawsuit. So this is where the Safe Harbors Act comes in, part of the DMCA, and artists are not happy with that. They want some of the Safe Harbor stuff taken away. And the DMCA this week, the ad says, the DMCA has allowed major tech companies to grow and generate huge profits by creating ease of use for consumers to carry almost every recorded song in history in their pocket via smartphone, while songwriters and artists' earnings continue to diminish. It suggests that the DMCA was intended to protect the kind of companies that benefit from now, a subject that's been debated by lawyers and policymakers as well, and asks for sensible reform that balances the interests of creators with the interests of companies who exploit music for their financial enrichment. YouTube has said that it gets no advantage from the DMCA since its content ID system gives labels a way to remove or monetize their music, and a 99.5% of music claims involved it as opposed to manual DMCA. So 99.5% of the music claims come in by automated bot. This implies the content ID is very effective, but it's hard to know for sure since no one measures how much music the system doesn't identify. YouTube also points out it has paid more than $3 billion to the music industry, and that much of this revenue is generated by casual music fans who might not subscribe to other services anyway. So they want change, and it's all about the cash, chasing the dollars. I understand artists want to get paid. And I think companies that are, you know, if I put copyright material stuff in my show, I get flagged. That's why I can't run no videos during the show that have audio. Just the video alone of a fair use news clip can get my content flagged over at YouTube. Just the running of a video with no sound even turned on will get me shut down. So it has to be all original content. That's why I don't run video clips or audio clips in the show. Now, I could, if I ever decided to stop live streaming the show, we could go to playing audio clips and news clips from third-party services so long as we invoked fair use and did what we're supposed to do there for attribution and everything else. So, but the artists are out for cash. So we'll see where this leads. They give enough money to politicians, they'll probably have some legislation brought forward. Netflix is picking a fight with internet exchange industry. So the internet exchange industry, according to Netflix's CEO, is ripping off customers, charging too much for features people don't need, and spending millions on staff salaries, unnecessary marketing, and social events, meaning parties. That's according to the vice president of network strategy architecture. Oh, it's the vice president of network vice president of Netflix, David Kempkin, who created a stir at a meeting of network operators in Chicago last week when he gave a presentation. He says the real cost of public ISPs. And he held no holds barred, talking about how some executives in some of these internet exchanges make as much as $22,000 an hour. So I guess that's a pretty good hourly rate, yeah? that's the kind of money I want to make, $22,000 an hour. Sign me up. Sign me up indeed. So I'll have that link up in the show notes. You can read the context of his speech. All right, Ridley Scott's last alien film, Prometheus, ended with Elizabeth Shaw, that's Noomi Rapace, and the head of Cyborg, David, flying off to continue the story. So it is a surprise when the sequel of Alien Covenant has announced that Michael Fassbender, the person that played David, but not Elizabeth Shaw, who is Noomi Rapace, was in the cast. Well, big surprise, she actually is. Deadline reports that despite those early casting stories, Rapace is currently on the Australia set of Covenant. She's filming for a few weeks, so this is going to be good. Awesome. So we're going to, if you're an Alien fan, the movie, it's going to be good. Dun, 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 dun. Hey, Solar Impulse left JFK. It's on its way to Seville, Spain, and expected to take 4 days of flight. Tonight's, we're already about 24 hours into their flight. You can follow Solar Impulse over at the Solar Impulse website. If you don't, just Google it or solarimpulse.com, making its way across at a whopping 25 knots. If you use Citrix, go to my PC. I'm a Citrix Go to My PC user. I have multiple computers on Citrix Go to My PC. Your user password, now to get to the computer requires another password, but your user account password was probably hacked and they reset everyone's password. My password got reset. I don't know how many accounts were hacked, but mine was. They do have two-step verification over there as well that I didn't know they had, which I have now enabled. Zika, scary, scary, scary stuff. And having my daughter being in Tampa, being in the the potential zone where these horrible mosquitoes are spreading Zika could go to. The FDA today announced an experimental Zika vaccine called GLS-5700 for clinical trial in humans. The first such treatment to get an official nod from the agency. Initial trials will start with 40 healthy subjects getting dosed in the coming weeks. And if all goes without a hitch, preliminary results should be available later this year. Seems awful fast for a vaccine. But maybe not. Now, here's the question, ladies. If you are of childbearing years, you live in an area that has the potential to be inundated with Zika-carrying mosquitoes at some point in the near future, and if you get a mosquito bite without having any type of vaccine, would you be willing to wait 2 years, at least, from the time you've gotten bit by a mosquito before getting pregnant? And that's what they're recommending down in Brazil and so forth. They're recommending women that have been infected with Zika to wait at least 2 years. So, this trial is going to determine the vaccine safety and proper dosage level, but just seems awful, awful quick. And a lot of people are anti-vaccine as it is. But the experimental treatments produce robust antibody T-cell responses in small and large animals, a promising sign for its chance to combat Zika in humans. So, of course, so far only, fortunately, three mothers have delivered babies. But sadly, I shouldn't say happily, sadly, so far three moms deliver babies with brain damage while three others have terminated their pregnancies. So scary stuff. Where are we at on this, folks? Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. All right, Intel has introduced a 72-core Xeon Pi chip. And, you know, if you're thinking about buying one of these, they're going to start out in September only costing $6,200. So I think the majority of us are not going to be buying one of these. But Intel is basically doing a heads-to-heads-up challenge against NVIDIA and their GPU processors, saying, come on, let's rumble. So anyway, this monster 72-core Xeon Phi chip, Intel couldn't help but take a swipe. And ironically, the Xeon Phi is a byproduct of Larrabee. Larrabee was supposed to be Intel's first major GPU, but was abandoned in 2009 after multiple delays. So we'll see where this goes. But 72 cores on a processor. That is just simply incredible. Hey, congratulations to Blue Origin. And at first, the secret of Blue Origin rocket company invited the world to watch its Sunday launch live. Blue Origin's new Shepard vehicle accelerated to 2,142 miles per hour, ascended into the low space, and then basically returned to Earth 10 minutes later, and it landed upright. This is the fourth launch of this same rocket. So I think what we're seeing here, folks, is that I think it's time to bet on these guys. As you get older, and I'm 52, you have to, you know, choose wisely in your investment strategies. But I think if I was in my 20s or early 30s and I had some money laying around, I might be willing to take a hedge and bet on Blue Origin and SpaceX. Where investment opportunities are, I think these companies are the future and a way ahead for space. Space tourism, space exploration, the whole nine yards. These guys are betting big, and I think the wins are going to be big. So, I haven't looked at if you can even buy in stock in SpaceX or not. But if you can, you maybe consider it. Hey, in 1976, the Viking mission to Mars did all that was hoped to, except find life. There's a great article in the Washington Post that goes into detail talking about the early 1976 landing of Viking on Mars and the science that was obtained from it. I remember very clearly July 4th, 1776. Yeah, I remember that clearly, right? 1976. I was a whopping 12 years old at that time. And there was, of course, it was the 200th celebration of the founding of the United States. And we had a train come through town that had all kinds of exhibit stuff for the 200th birthday. And I remember going through that exhibit as a kid. It wasn't in town on the 4th, but it was surrounding that whole year. But I really don't think that I had any clue that Viking 1 was going to Mars. I just don't remember being that interested. That may be one of the years that we didn't have a TV. I remember I told you guys before we had a TV blow up one day and a new TV didn't arrive in the house for 3 years. So it's because my dad had better things for me to do. So maybe I missed out on all of that because of just basically being out of touch, living the country life, being a country boy. How many of you saw Game of Thrones last night? If you have not seen it and you've stayed away from social media, all I can say, very satisfying. Very satisfying show. I will say that it's probably the second best episode ever in Game of Thrones, apparently equaling the time Joffrey got poisoned. So there'll be a couple of links up in the show notes. It contains spoilers, so if you haven't watched Game of Thrones, please do so. And I got lots of speculations on what happens next, but I'll... Man, what a series. Super winner by HBO. It's the sole reason I still have HBO. The sole reason. Those of you who live in New York, New York is going to criminalize the use of ticket scalping bots. So it's impossible. You go on, you know, any type, something's announced here in Hawaii, you go on Ticketmaster and they're sold out. They're gone because the bots have bought all the tickets and then they mark them up. You know, it's not fair. But they've made it a misdemeanor up to $1,000 fine to basically pull in tickets via bots. I still don't think it's going to stop them at all. Sadly, today, the Supreme Court knocks a little more off the Fourth Amendment. It gives police officers another way to salvage illegal searches. You know, the Fourth Amendment's prohibition against unreasonable search and seizures is under major attack. Oftentimes, police will pull a car over for a headlight out and use that as probable cause to ask to search the car. So it appears that the court has still made it legal for someone to be pulled over and that end up being a search of one's person. You know, you can still say no, you can't search my, you know, search my car. But they can still put you up against the hood and frisk you down for a paraphernalia or whatever you may have in your pockets. So it's a bit of a strike here for the Fourth Amendment. And so police officers are going to be able to still do some searches. Obviously, you can still tell in your vehicle, no, go get a search warrant. But this is a little more strike against us here. And you got to keep whittling away little by little. If any of you have done any brain training, bought any brain training products, I'm just going to link you up to an article that's over in Ars Technica talking about the billion-dollar brain training industry is a sham. And a study is suggesting that it's nothing but a placebo. So, sites like Luminosity, Lumosity. We've seen those ads on TV. They've recently agreed to pay $2 million to the FTC over claims of deceptive advertising. There's a variety of brain training stuff, some of being represented by George Mason University and a variety of different services. So just be aware that you know, some of this stuff is a little bit hocus pocus. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. Hey, Facebook stays friend with Peter Thiel. A month after PayPal's co-founder and early Facebook backer said he was bankrolling a series of lawsuits against Gawker, the Facebook shareholders decided he should stay on the board. So not too much of a fallout. Of course, he's got so much money, he could care less probably to begin with, but he owns a lot of Facebook. He owns a lot of Facebook. So I'm sure he voted his shares to stay on the board. But Mark Zuckerberg had responded to a shareholder asked if the company is planning to merge. Oh, wait. Sorry, wrong topic. I was just reading a little bit too far down on this. But anyway, they've kept him on board. And they had some other news today, so that'll be up in the show notes. All right, there's a crazy scam going on Amazon that is actually opposite of what you may think. And this is dirty play by some individuals. So imagine you've ordered an iPhone, an unlocked iPhone from Amazon. and you get your iPhone and you open it up, and inside there is clay instead of a phone. Well, you write a review, you take a picture, you submit that to Amazon, and maybe you get your $900 back or whatever it cost you. It's a one-star review. But if you go and look at the vendor that these folks are being responding to, there was 507 reviews, and 69% of them were five-star. Another 9% were four-star. But the reviewers weren't the strangest part. What seemed particularly odd was the idea that the same seller would try this so many times in light of Amazon's strict pro-buyer policies. But here's what it is. This was no seller scam. This was the buyer being a scam artist. The buyer was saying, hey, I got scammed. Give me my money back. And sometimes they did. Sometimes they didn't. And if they did get their money back, they probably were left with a phone to utilize or sell. And those that didn't get their phone back would have a box full of clay. So it's kind of a reverse deal. The buyer scamming the seller. So pretty dirty. Very, very dirty. You just don't know what to think about what people will do these days anymore, yeah? Spotify has 100 million users, but Apple Music remains a threat. They basically have grown from 11 to 15 million in just a few months. So, 11 to 13 million in several months. But Spotify's really on paid users is burning people out as fast as they're bringing them in. So they're adding a lot of people, but they're not keeping very many paid folks. So that doesn't necessarily bode well. And we'll see where this leads. If you've searched or if you've actually shopped or done business with Acer, be aware that they've had 34,500 online shoppers' data exposed. So if you have anything bought directly from the Acer website from May 15, 2015 to April 28, 2016, you'll probably be getting a letter from them. The data was stolen because the company inadvertently stored the consumer data in an unsecured format. Naughty, naughty, naughty. When will these companies learn you have to lock all this stuff down? Rumor that the Apple iPhone 7 might include a dual SIM. So how many of you carry two cell phones in your pocket? How would you like to carry one where putting the dual SIM in will allow your phone to have two telephone numbers? Thus, you can answer personal and business calls with the same phone. I think this is smart. We'll see if this is actually true. But they're also saying that the standard audio jack may stay as well, which was rumored to be going away. I think the dual SIM card idea is awesome. How many have done self-diagnosis via Google? You've got pain in your leg, pain in your gut, got a pain in your arm. Something's wrong with your sinuses. Think you got cancer, think you've got diabetes, whatever it may be. Well, Google will now help you with a new symptom search. So part of your body itches or burns, specifically. I won't go there. You've probably searched for free medical. You may even looked up for information on STD. But over the next few days, Google's rolling a feature called Symptom Search, which is designed to show better results on Google app for iOS and Android. A search includes a description like a child with a knee pain will return a list of conditions. And, you know, here's the deal. We're all doing it. We're going to the doctor and say, Doc, I have got this. And maybe some of the time you're right. But, trust your physicians. Go see them. And if you have something to itch or burns, go see your doctor. It's very important to do that. But anyway, Google's going to help you out with those symptoms. And I hope that if they find certain symptoms, they'll suggest certain things for people to do. how many are familiar with Twitch? They do all a lot of live game streaming. They're going to go. This is kind of cool. I like this. They're going to go after bot operators. A lot of these bot operators are driving up views of videos just to try to make a individual more popular than it really is. We run into this all the time with podcasting. We've had to build huge fraud prevention stuff into our podcast statistics engine, largely because there are people that just can't handle that they've only got 100 people listening to their show, and they go out and pay someone, $100 to get them 5,000 listens or something like that. And we've had to put huge infrastructure in to basically filter that crap out, so that money's wasted. But Twitch is going to be suing some of these players, and they're going after them in a big way. So we'll see how that lawsuit works out. All right, Amazon Prime, July. Let's look here if there's any good. So you got 48 Hours is coming back, Casino, Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2, great series, Star Trek's 1 through 1, 2, 3, where's 4? 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, and 9. What else is coming? Shall We Dance? Some old movies, obviously, as well. Battleground, Battle for Terra. That's what's coming to Amazon Prime in July, okay? Netflix is expected to make $500 million more per year after jacking up prices. I got my email today telling me that what I started paying many years ago is no longer going to be the case, and I'm going to be going to a $9.99 per month. That's probably going to make my wife unhappy, but it's $2 more than what I'm paying right now. So price will go up. How many of you went and seen Finding Dory this weekend? Dads, did you take your kids to see Finding Dory? Well, Finding Dory set a record for biggest domestic opening for animated film at $136.2 million since its debut last Thursday, shattering the previous records set by Shrek. What about the Minions? That was a cool... I'm usually not into the animated films, but the Minions was awesome. On the science front, a single molecule switch gets us closer to light-powered computers. That's very, very awesome. So there's an article on Scientific American talking about some stuff that's going on there. I'll have that in the show notes. Yes, we're going to get to the weird stuff yet. Don't worry. China flexing its muscles once again. And, you know, it continues to swap back and forth. But China made the world's fastest supercomputer using its own chips. I'm sure after stealing stuff from Intel and everyone else, oh yeah, you know, they don't make their own chips. They just steal the technology to make their own chips. So anyway, they're not being affected by any embargo of technology, that's for sure. If you live in New York, a new bill would ban Airbnb listings for some short-term rentals. So if you're an Airbnb user or Airbnb renter in New York, beware that this may be coming. I'll have the link up in the show notes. BitTorrent, you know, they're always doing something new. BitTorrent has launched a peer-to-peer streaming news network. And they're looking to, again, they've been expanding their streaming offerings for a while. So the news network being an expansion of the OTT news app the company released for Apple TV, iOS, Android earlier this year. So I don't who are they're going to have 20 nonstop 24/7 of CNN, MSNBC. They must have gotten permission to rebroadcast that, but that'll be available. Also, if you're a Segway fan, the new Segway is a crazy next gen hoverbird that you can pre-order now. It's called the Segway Mini Pro, smart self-balancing personal transporter with mobile control app. And Segway's new Mini Pro launches on June 29th. And you can order one on Amazon right now. It costs $999, much cheaper than the original Segways. Sad news, of course, from Anton Yelchin's being killed this past weekend with his Jeep. Basically trapping him between himself and the wall. Very, very bad Very bad situation. It actually crushed him into a mailbox. Anyway, it was a Jeep Cherokee, so there is some stuff being checked out here. Set your parking brake, folks. When you get out of your vehicle, set your parking brakes. All right, what fools will do, many places around the country starting to get their fireworks out and sell them, Walmart not being the exception to that. So a couple of 20-year-olds decided that they thought it'd be pretty cool if they would light a Walmart fireworks display. They set they were caught on camera, and the video is pretty impressive. I'm surprised the building didn't burn down. But these two gentlemen are facing a Class 2 felony, which is just below a murder charge. Could get 20 years in for prison for being dumbasses for deciding to light the fuses on a fireworks display in a Walmart store. Absolute insanity. Okay, here's the weird stuff today. And what are we doing for time? We're okay. Have you heard about Plague Doctor? Plague Doctor that's been scaring people in the UK? The mystery's over. A strange figure seen roaming the streets of an English city dressed as a plague doctor appears to finally have been solved. The eerie entity generated a significant amount of interest on social media as residents of Chester, England, beginning wondering why this figure suddenly appeared and who it might be. Donning a long black robe and sporting an unnerving beaked mask, the chilling plague doctor flummoxed witnesses in Chester as it silently stalked the streets at night. In a somewhat unsurprising revelation, a Chester-based archaeology company known as Big Heritage announced that they are the source of the character which had been terrorizing people in the streets. The exact reason for the stunt remained cloaked in secrecy, but the company hinted that it involved filming for a new project, which they hope to unveil to the city soon. The Plague Doctor walking around in Chester, England. In Japan, earthquake sickness afflicts hundreds in Japan. Apparently, medical officers in Japan report that hundreds of people have been diagnosed with a strange condition known as earthquake sickness, following April's massive tremor. Among the symptoms attributed to the ailment are pronounced dizziness, nausea, and extreme fear that a subsequent earthquake is due to strike. Yeah, this is after the initial earthquake. They're getting all kinds of sick and scared. So, according to report, more than 200 people residing in the area hit by the 7.3 magnitude quake in April are believed to be suffering from the condition. Earthquake sickness ravages Japan. This next one, from coast to coast, Google Earth captures giants at Giza. You know, out by the pyramids. There's a video, and you're going to be like, this guy's stupid. Now, if you've ever flown over the Middle East like I have, you'll know that the buildings there look pretty, well, there's no green. It's just dirt and buildings. And a lot of times, buildings that look the same around, you know, walled structures. But that wasn't the strange thing. He found a thing in Google Earth. He was looking around, and he found a video for supposedly what was a bakery. And I think you'll all be surprised at the giants that were walking across the street. So I'll have that link up in the show notes, and you can view the giants. Personally, I just think it was the angle of the camera, but these dudes in these images do look like they're about 8 feet tall. Now, and they're really totally weird. In Minnesota, first of all, you got any friends in Minnesota that are missing some digits? Yes, missing some fingers. A pair of severed fingers discovered on a picnic table in Minnesota City have left the authorities scratching their head. Found last month at a recreation area in East Grand Forks, the mystery digits have proven to be a confounding puzzle for local police looking to determine the origins. Both a search of the area with a cadaver dog, as well as a national law enforcement database of fingerprints, have failed to yield any clues as to the identity of the now 8-fingered owner. All officials can say for certain is that the ring and middle finger once resided on the left hand, leaving the investigators to devise their own theories for how they come to arrive on that picnic table. Perhaps the most incredible proposal comes from Lieutenant Rodney, who theorized that the fingers came from a Grand Forks, North Dakota man who was injured his hand in a firework accident this past April. For the fingers to make it to nearby East Grand Forks in Minnesota require a remarkable journey across the Red River, which separates the two cities and states. They said that some birds may have picked up the fingers and made the flight. So, anyway, they're going to contact the North Dakota man and said, are these your digits? So anyway, that's from some of the weird stuff. I got that directly from Coast to Coast. Again, I'm looking for these weird sites that has this weird stuff that can be true or not true, but, you know, can entertain us a little bit. And if you have sources for this weird stuff, I want to hear from you. Email me those links so I can add them to my pool of stuff I'm going to look through. But that does bring us to the end of the show here, folks. Let me see. Did we have any love mail come in? I don't know if we had any love mail come in or not, but let's look. Today is the 20th of June. And no love mail. So you guys don't love me anymore. Geeknews@gmail.com. I hope you enjoyed this on Facebook tonight. For those of you that were watching, thanks for being here. Thanks for the content comments. And, of course, if you're on YouTube, thanks for being here as well. We've got a chat room there as well. So live.geeknewscentral.com. Of course, most of you, 99.999% of you, are listening or viewing later. And you're the ones that I definitely appreciate the most for your continued support of the show. And it's been my pleasure bringing the show today. And I hope that we can have a little bit lighter format like this and have fun and share this kind of stuff. Sometimes it just gets too serious around here. And with all the, how should we kindly say this? All the beep going on in the world right now, I think we need a little bit of more lightheartedness from time to time so that we can get from the away from the drudgeries of the 24/7 news cycle that we're all being subjected to. All right. And have a little more fun with the news over here than they do over there. And, you know, I'm a talking head too, but it's time to take the talking head stuff, take back control of it like we've done since 2004. All right, everyone, take care. Thank you so much. Your comments are welcome at geeknews@gmail.com. And, of course, if you want to leave a voice comment, you can do that via the website at geeknewscentral.com. Just scroll on down. You see the click there to where to leave the audio comment. But I appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks for being here. We'll see you next time. See you on Thursday here at the Geekness Podcast. Everyone take care. Bye-bye.